First, released hostage Peter Theo Curtis spoke briefly to the media gathered outside his mother's Cambridge, Massachusetts home today after arriving back in the U.S. last night. The government of Qatar helped negotiate the release of the 45-year-old writer from an al-Qaeda-related group in Syria. Others, like a retired American media mogul and a former FBI agent, were also involved, and Curtis expressed thanks.
In the days following my release on Sunday, I have learned bit by bit that there have been literally hundreds of people, brave, determined, and big-hearted people all over the world working for my release. They've been working for 2 years on this. I had no idea when I was in prison. I had no idea that so much effort was being expended on my behalf. And now, having found out, I am just overwhelmed with emotion.
His comments were very brief. He told the waiting journalists he understood their need for interviews and he'd one day do them, but said he wanted to bond now with his mother. Clint Van Zandt of the threat assessment group Van Zandt Associates and also a former chief negotiator for the FBI who's done lots of work overseas in hostage situations joins us now. And Clint, we just want to get a sense of what may be going on here. Were you surprised that the comments were so brief?
No, Robin, I really wasn't. I'm sure that there was advice given to both Theo as well as his mother to keep the comments brief right now. Realize that this man is just being introduced back into what he knows to be the real world. I mean, the idea of turning a faucet on or flushing a toilet or going to a refrigerator may be something that he's been deprived of for almost 2 years. So I think they're going to want to bring him back, help him come back slowly to understand what he's been through and what his future holds.
Well, there's that. But then you wonder if he's also being advised not to say things that might endanger other hostages. And let's remind ourselves, Theo Curtis is fascinating. He was a writer, is a writer, a scholar. He wrote about disaffected Muslims in Yemen in his book Undercover Muslim, in which he went undercover, posing as a convert to try to find out what would make someone convert. He wrote about how he'd met one convert in Yemen, Curtis Bledsoe, who then went on to shoot at a military recruiting office in Arkansas in 2009, killing one soldier. So he was conducting very risky business in his writing, but he also could have information for officials?
Well, of course he does, Robin. Part of this is going to be getting that information to officials. And in a case like this or any case, it's always a two-track type of investigation, like a set of railroad tracks. Track number one is conducting negotiations through official and many times unofficial channels, trying to broker some type of a release. And as you know, the U.S. government is not going to pay a ransom, but other private individuals and companies do. The second part, the second track, is coming up with tactical information that could aid, that could assist if a decision is made to do a hostage rescue mission like was done on July 4th. And unfortunately, when we went in to get the most recent hostage who was murdered, he had already been moved. But the government is always going to move like that. And again, this al-Qaeda branch that was holding Theo also is believed to hold at least two other Americans, and I'm sure a number of other Europeans and international. So you want to be very careful what's said. We don't want to anger them needlessly and have them take some untoward action against one of the hostages they continue to hold.
Well, you bring up something interesting. There are companies like yours and others. We read about Krill, which is another company. People literally advising families whose loved ones have been taken hostage. People most Americans didn't even know about. And suddenly this has burbled up in a horrible way. You mentioned James Foley and the failed attempt to rescue him. And in a jubilant way with the release of Theo Curtis. But what should people do? This morning, the mother of another hostage, Stephen Sotloff, made an emotional plea for his release. She directed her appeal to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. Here she addresses him as Caliph, his self-declared title as leader of the Muslim community.
I've always learned that you, the Caliph, can grant amnesty. I ask you to please release my child. As a mother, I ask your justice to be merciful and not punish my son for matters he has no control over.
Any sense, this was on the Arabia Network, but any sense, Clint, is this the right thing to do? How do you know?
We want to be careful not to pay ransom, nor do we want to pay hostage to a group, nor do we want to upset them. The government, the FBI, will advise family members, help them construct statements like this. But again, the more attention we give groups like this, unfortunately, the more kidnappings we're likely to see.
Well, hopefully her words will have some effect either way. Clint Van Zandt, a former chief negotiator for the FBI in hostage situations. His group is Van Zandt Associates. Clint, thanks as always.
Thank you.